Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus Podcast, part two. Tim?
Part two. We're just getting started, good.
So, Tim, what do you think about taxes? I just paid my tax bill last week. Actually, this week.
Well, Ben.
Sent me into a deep, dark depression.
Much like with everything else in life, I'm a bit of a last-minuter when it comes to taxes, and I really find it inconvenient. Less about the money, more about the frustration of just having one more thing to do every year.
Yeah, I just tend to I want to curl up in a fetal position and just weep openly.
I miss long form taxes, but it definitely makes it a little bit less of a dread just to drop them off at, you know, your buddy Ray's house and, hey, Ray, fix me up. Wait. And then usually about every 4 years, I realize that Ray's really bad at it. And I move on to Sally and she redoes them and says, oh, wow, Ray was really messing these bad boys up. But the long form being taken away with the Trump tax law really simplified it, but it did not necessarily help my bottom line.
Yeah. It's discouraging. And I mean, look, like Missouri's better than most places when it comes to taxes. We're still working on it, trying to bring relief. And I mean, I still am trying to get the income tax totally eliminated and the corporate tax eliminated.
I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here, but I'm going off on a rabbit trail here.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
So there's somebody running for governor, did not recognize the name.
Yeah.
Who's trying to
eliminate the personal property
tax. Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'd be all for it, but I mean,
is it a pipe dream?
It's a difficult thing to accomplish when you have to also figure out where you're going to make that revenue up, right?
Yeah, I listened to his spiel and he pretty much was like, it won't be a problem because of something.
It sounds good.
Sounded beautiful.
It's a great campaign speech.
Agreed.
But here, and I'm all for it, but you also have to realize that there are a lot of moving parts to our tax system. I would rather first eliminate the personal income tax because I think it's the most egregious because you're getting taxed for being industrious, right?
Right.
And that to me is just morally wrong. I would at least rather pay, I'd rather pay personal property taxes than I would income taxes. Even though, you know, again, I don't like the fact that you never really own your stuff. The government can come and take it and all that. At least those who own pay, right?
I definitely think that there should be some reform in that. And I know that there has.
For
they've
sure.
come a little ways, but a person living on like a fixed income probably should not have to continue to pay property tax.
Yeah, agreed. And we've brought some reforms in that with seniors, right?
Yeah.
And assessments and all of those things and trying to chip away at it. But you look at other states that have eliminated personal property tax or eliminated income tax. I mean, they have figured it out. They're doing well. You look at states like Tennessee and Texas that have eliminated the personal income tax. They're booming. And the corporate tax as well.
Yeah.
So those are all things, you know, as
good stuff to
the chair of the tax reform committee, this is something I'm always working on, but you can't do it all at once. And you know, usually the states that have done this successfully do a phase out.
Yeah.
So you find other means of filling the gap for that
just
income.
Slowly shrink the, and that's the thing, like I really don't have a problem with paying property or personal tax at this moment, but I could definitely see it being taxing.
Yeah.
On some individuals, you know, literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. So speaking of taxes, let's go back to our favorite country to make fun of, which is Canada.
Canadians.
And the Canadians have a proposed, wait for it.
Say there, what is it?
Rain tax.
Yeah.
So let's listen up to see what this proposal is all about.
Tammy and Sid here with you. Meredith Shaw, under the weather. Mayor, get better soon. Now, Toronto is considering, this is starting to catch.
There it is. Thanks, Kim.
Quick trigger, Kim. Thank you. Is there a rain tax coming to the city of Toronto?
That's what's
now running on social media. It's not official, but officials are looking at it. Here are the details. It's called the stormwater charge. I have one in Mississauga. The more flat pavement you have, the more rain runoff will happen, the more you might get taxed. And other municipalities around the province do have this, not necessarily in Toronto. It's in an effort to help improve the city's aging water system. As the city grows, the stormwater system becomes strained, which could lead to flooding and basements being overrun and water pollution, things you don't want. Consultations and public meetings will be held next month regarding the rain tax, discussing the following: a stormwater charge for all property taxes, a stormwater charge credit program for large properties, an administrative water charge referred to as a water service charge. Is this normal stuff to talk about from a municipality standpoint, Tam, or should people be freaking out a little bit?
No, I think it's...
I mean...
So, would cloud seeding be considered extortion? Boys, we need to get those jet streams beefed up a little bit. We're running a little bit low on dollars.
Right. There's so many problems with this. Like, what about years with a drought, right?
Yeah.
So you become dependent upon the rain tax then, because that's what government will do, right? You get a new tax, yeah. You're going to become dependent upon it. So you become dependent on that, and you get a year that's a dry year, then everything goes broke, right?
Well, and Houston ran into this.
They have a rain tax?
No, they ran into the issue of a aging
water system,
yeah. Especially, and it was really brought to light after the hurricane, because water did not recede in any fashion the way that it should have. And so what they did is something very similar. It's less egregious, sounds less ridiculous, and it is. I mean, what they did. So when you would pull a permit for a building with a large parking lot, they would make you put in a 100-year retention pond before you could continue improvements on shopping centers and things like that. And I got caught in the middle of that. And I had to do a retention pond in Houston, and it was the most ridiculous. Like, or the fact that they had to do that, and before they could improve that shopping center,
before it could even do anything.
Yeah, it was well over $500,000 that went into a parking lot that was a perfectly good parking lot before we got there, and that was just so that they could bring in a new Ross, or you know.
Wow.
And so this kind of stuff does happen, but a rain tax, it would be the worst way to present that to the public.
Depending because on it, how much property you have. The more property you have, the more tax you pay, because you have more water that falls on your property.
Exactly. And that's what it was based off, was that's what Houston was doing. If you had a certain amount of runoff, but if they had called it the rain tax, there would have been riots in the streets.
Yeah.
People would have been walking 20 paces with their representatives, you know. And so I'll just say that I have heard of this kind of ridiculousness. It does go on.
It does.
But
especially with municipalities.
Somebody's got to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? So, and it is an infrastructure issue, and you would hope that the budget was being responsibly handled. I don't think Toronto, that is the story there.
No.
It's usually just
not.
A grab for a little more. They're going to still have the
worst.
They
could probably cut their DEI program and pay
exactly.
for it.
Exactly. And so that's the frustrating part is, I get it when, if you're running a lean budget and you're doing well, you're not taking a lot of money. Texas is great for not taxing, you know, corporations to death, things like that. So that's what they had to do, something to pay for it. And somebody's got to pay for it. But a rain tax is the most absurd.
It's crazy.
And knowing Toronto is one of the, you know, worst ran, what are they? They're not a state, a
city.
City.
Toronto.
Yeah. You know, in Canada.
Well, I mean, think about the ways you could get around it. Like, because that's what I always think about. Let's, you know, if this happened and I had to pay this rain tax, I can find ways to deflect the water onto the properties around me, and then they're paying double, and I'm paying nothing just because I found a way.
Just have it, just have dirt parking lots again,
right?
You know,
I mean, you can divert the water. Is it the water that falls on it, or is it just because it's an acreage they have some prorated formula, or you know, I mean, there's many holes in that.
That's the biggest thing is so the roof. Your runoff, you have a runoff rating for, you know, a shopping center. That's your roof runoff and your parking lot in a lot of places. And so what they're saying here seems to just be with parking lots and concrete surfaces. So you could just go to a gravel parking lot and probably, and you can sell asphalt that you pull up off your park. It's, you know, it's not at a premium, but they'll buy that, recycle it. So, yeah, you just probably end up going back to mud streets.
But they never think of the long-term consequences because what will happen with this is nobody wants to live where there's a rain tax, right? No. Nobody wants to
look at
have a business where there's a rain tax.
Look at California. These mass exodus will continue with stupid policy. And like I said, I know that one in Houston was I know it's probably been a bit of a burden on a lot of places, but at the end of the day, Texas is pretty fair overall to people on taxes as a state.
But the municipalities is where it's at. It gets wild because it's local control on a lot of that stuff, and you get crazy people in office that have stupid ideas.
You have some
ideas.
Liberals in Houston.
Yeah. And that's what you end up with. So, for instance.
Just sounds like a straight-up money grab.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like the whole idea that
devil's advocating there on the advocating on the Houston's thought process behind it, but this is a rain tax is just
it's crazy.
It's crazy pills talk.
So right. So next up, this goes right along with this, and this is something that you see more often now, especially with inept leaders in these cities. They want to blame everybody else, right, for all the problems, except for the actual real problems. And it's just that old classic psychological projection ruse, you know. So, I mean, for instance, like this week in St. Louis, Mayor Tishara Jones, she was asked about all the out-of-control crime, you know, with people robbing convenience stores and robbing the Walgreens and robbing.
Can I guess?
Yeah. So what her answer was?
Guns.
No. I mean, that might have been a part of it, but no. Her go-to was, we should hold the businesses accountable.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do have to, and she's dead right, you have to go after your most industrious, productive population and figure out why things are going poorly.
Yeah.
Definitely not policy.
That they're getting robbed.
Definitely not, you know, the broken families. It's definitely the industrious people who get up at 4 a.m. and go fry your donuts and brew your coffee. That is, and sell you your shoes.
Yeah, they made their business where it was just too easy to break into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like those Kia and Hyundai lawsuits, right?
Yes.
Like sue the car manufacturers for making their cars where, you know, they're not anti-theft enough.
Sue Glock for making a product that's very easy to use and work on.
So in this case, in this story, it's the Biden DOJ that's suing Apple because of the harm it causes. I love this story. It causes Android users when their text bubbles are green instead of blue.
Me and my wife had a long discussion on this week.
Did you?
And she was like, well, that is kind of shady. And I'm like, but what about free market? I said, so, you know, are we supposed to, if you come up with a good product, a good idea, are you supposed to just share all of your proprietary benefits of your product with your direct competitor?
Right.
And that's a thing that people miss. Apple has bought screens from Samsung. They've bought cameras from other companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like their competitors don't have some benefit, you know,
of their success.
Mm-hmm. It's creating jobs argument with uber wealthy people. You know, it's that same thing. Yeah, nobody needs $240 billion. But that's not our, that it doesn't matter if they need it.
Right.
That's just, not
the, it's the wrong question to
ask. It's the wrong question.
Right.
And so Apple is offering a superior product. And if your phone doesn't turn green when you get a message, cry me a river.
Right.
You know,
it's hilarious.
It's like good. And that's what it's punishing good business, good service. Mm-hmm. I've been an Apple customer for a very, very long time. Yeah, I tried switching to Android, went right back to Apple.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, I get that there's, yes, there is, it's DEI again. It's just, you know, expecting equality.
To fix some kind of social issue or psychological issue.
Give an inferior product, but expect equal results. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
So it's hilarious. You look at this and you read this story. It says, and this is not the B article
as well. Social stigma.
Yeah, the notorious issue was heavily featured in the antitrust complaint filed by the DOJ. I mean, all the things the DOJ need to be doing right now, this just blows my mind that they're suing Apple over green text bubbles.
The crime of the green tech.
It's ridiculous.
The Hardy Boys could solve this. We don't need the DOJ.
So Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is terrible, said Apple undermines rivals by having texts from Androids to iPhones suffer from limited functionality. Android users can't see typing indicators, experience poor video quality, and have non-encrypted messages when texting with iPhone users. Additionally, Apple has stifled rival apps that could have fixed the problem, the DOJ alleged. And they said, many non-iPhone users also experience social stigma, exclusion. So there it is right there.
Yeah, it's DEI.
And blame for breaking chats where other participants own iPhones, the lawsuit claimed.
And here's
the effect is particularly powerful for certain demographics like teenagers.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You know how many Android users... And I wish we're missing Joel today. But Android users are Android users, like, they're religious about it, just mm-hmm. like iPhone. It's like, it's Ford and Chevy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Ford made that six, was it the 6.4 that just pooped the bed? And, you know, GM's had plenty of stinkers. It's just like... What's the inconvenience to the Apple user to not be able to chat with everybody? I don't feel like Android users are inferior.
No.
They're different.
Yeah.
And
that's their choice.
And that is, they it's make that country. Choice, and they cling to that choice like God and guns to a uber conservative. So it's just as annoying for Apple users as it is for an mm-hmm. Android user to feel left out to when your pictures won't send. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I'm trying to send. I hate email. I hate email. So I text everything. And I've got people who are on computers waiting for emails. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times it just gives me the little red circle with the exclamation in the middle and, you know, says your message wasn't delivered or whatever. Because they didn't have iMessage and stuff. So you go and turn your iMessage off. It's just as inconvenient for the Apple user, but nobody's switching their opinion.
Mm-mm.
So it's not a one-way street where just the Android users are inconvenienced or left out. But I love the product, and so that's why I buy it.
Yeah.
And it's really simple stuff.
But what's frustrating about this is how that the government is trying to fix a social issue.
Yes,
like, because exactly. People are weak and thin and they can't handle not being included or whatever it is. You know, I can't believe I'm not the same color in my text bubble as everyone else. And so because of that, I'm facing some psychological damage. It's just so crazy. But using our tax dollars to fight this in this lawsuit. And that's what's crazy. I mean, from the AP, they said this. Apple has locked its consumers into the iPhone while locking its competitors out of the market.
It's like...
That's called being good at business.
Exactly. And that's the frustrating part, is it just signals that if you're exceptional, you will be fined. You will be punished. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if who's next? Tesla?
Right.
Somebody's going to have the best of something.
Yeah. The new technology or whatever it might be that everybody wants.
Yes. And so do you force them to give up their proprietary?
Right. When they've marketed and figured out a way.
Lego doesn't even want to share their faces with the police.
Right.
And you're going to tell someone to take proprietary tech and just hand it over. Billions of dollars invested to make Apple what it is. Probably trillions. It's a trillion. It's a $3 trillion company. No, it's like 1.5. But
so Apple called the lawsuit wrong on the facts and the law and said it will vigorously defend against it. And I say Apple wins. The suit takes aim at how Apple allegedly molds its technology and business relationships to extract more money from consumers. I love how they word this.
Extract
more money from consumers.
Does developers, Apple, content Apple just creators. Comes into my house and bends me over the barrel and just pulls my wallet out and just can't tell you how many times I've woke up and just nothing in my accounts because Apple just came and extracted
all
my
wealth.
Cash.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that they find a good product, they produce a good product, they market a good product, and you buy it because of reasons, right?
Yeah.
So it's just hilarious that of all the things that our DOJ needs to be doing right now.
Hey, I'm just happy they're not beating down another lawsuit on Trump.
Right.
You know, good. Apple's taking one for the team.
It's crazy.
Taking one for America.
So next up, Tim, rapper P. Diddy, formerly known as Puff Daddy, I think, right?
I think so.
It's just Diddy now. I don't know. I have no earthly idea.
You know those people when you ask them what kind of music they like, and they're like, oh, I like everything. Rap kind of made me not able to say that.
Mm-hmm. So, and he seems to have changed his name several times, kind of like the guy running for president.
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll be Airbody next.
At least as many as like Prince or Ocho Cinco, right?
Yeah.
But I think his actual name is Sean Combs, which... Maybe I see why.
That sounds more familiar.
Maybe I see why he changed it.
Yeah.
It's a bit uninteresting and bland, I suppose. But Sean Diddy Combs has been the subject of an ongoing investigation this week into allegations of sexual misconduct and sex trafficking. Several of his homes were raided. I think this started on March 25th in targeting his homes in Los Angeles and Miami. And it's still not, as far as I know, currently known, publicly known at least, where he is at.
I think they came up with him today.
Did they?
I believe so.
Because he was on the lam. You know, he had stopped at the Miami airport briefly, but then has a private jet, went to the Bahamas, and then his whereabouts were kind of
up in the air. I believe I had a...
So did they actually serve a warrant or...
No, he hasn't been... He was found by some outlet.
Okay. News outlet like TMZ or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So in response to the raids and the allegations, Diddy's lawyer, Aaron Dyer, has issued a statement to the New York Times saying that the execution of the Homeland Security investigation was, quote, an excessive show of force, and that Diddy was never detained but spoke to and cooperated with authorities, and also claimed that Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name.
You know, Puff doesn't sound like a particularly hard-hitting name. Why wouldn't you have just gone with Honey?
Right.
With the last name Combs.
That would make way too much sense.
Puff Combs. Don't make sense.
No, not at all.
but smooth, sweet.
Fox News alert. Homeland Security agents raiding hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs' L.A. and Miami homes in connection to a federal sex trafficking investigation. Diddy's been the subject of numerous rape and sexual assault allegations, alleging years of wrongdoing. National correspondent Bill Malusian's here with the latest. Bill.
Well, Jesse, our federal sources tell us these raids at P. Diddy's properties were in connection to a federal sex trafficking probe. You can see here, heavily armed federal agents could be seen raiding Sean Diddy Combs's home right here in L.A. in the Holmby Hills area of Los Angeles. Several people could be seen being escorted from the property, some appearing to be detained or arrested, some in handcuffs. Meanwhile, in Miami, some federal agents arrived at Combs' waterfront property by boat, conducting a raid there as well. Sources tell Fox this had to do with a federal sex trafficking investigation, but officially, HSI is only saying, quote, earlier today, Homeland Security Investigations New York executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI Los Angeles, HSI Miami, and our local law enforcement partners. We will provide further information as it becomes available. Now, last year, three women accused Combs of abuse in two separate lawsuits. The day after the first lawsuit was filed, Combs and the woman, singer Cassandra Ventura, agreed on a settlement. In the second lawsuit filed last November.
Yeah, that's enough. So the point is, if his homes have been raided, it's probably very likely that a warrant or at least some kind of charge is coming for him, I would think.
Do you see the video of LeBron James?
No.
Talking about parties at
P. Diddy's? Yeah.
That didn't age well.
Yeah.
Assuming he's innocent.
Right.
Until proven guilty, that tweet was...
And he wasn't the only one. Yeah. There were several other people who were high profile, either actors or celebrities.
Have you seen the
celebrities
meme with Oprah kissing Harvey Weinstein, Puff, Bill Cosby? They had a picture of four pictures of Oprah, and she was like cozied up to... Four of, I don't know if R. Kelly was the other one or.
Wow.
Wines or,
Doesn't surprise me.
Who didn't kill himself?
Epstein. Yeah.
Anyways, four notoriously sketchy folk.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of the, anywho.
So it's obviously sparked a lot of chatter online. Other artists and movie stars hinting at the problem with sex trafficking in Hollywood. And the parties that these celebrities often hold with many times supposedly underage kids at those parties. So I don't know what's going to happen with this one, but I would say it's very likely that there would be some kind of charge following these raids in his homes. So
that seems like something the DOJ could get involved in.
Yeah, you know, that might be something a little bit more important than
that. It's probably more lucrative to just sue industrious people.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of the DOJ, I'm telling you, if it could get any worse, it would really shock me. But next up, the Biden DOJ launches a new task force to what? Grab your guns. Why? Because I think they just can't help themselves, and probably some idiot staffer or campaign consultant thought it would be a great idea in an election year to do this. So there is several articles on this, but it was announced that it's called the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, which in looking at this, I think it's just another attempt at a red flag law, which is unconstitutional, but this is what they're working on, Tim.
And they should add of diversity, equity, or diversity, equality, and forgot what the I stood for.
Inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Onto the end of all of those task force.
Yeah.
It would just really
dress it
really
up.
Really sell it. Yeah. Put a little lipstick on the pig.
So it says in the article, the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others, said
NERPORC.
Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Pork with a C.
The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence.
Bipartisan. We got three Republicans on this.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Unbelievable. So I think this is another, yeah.
Liz Cheney signed on. It's bipartisan.
You should have seen Thomas Massie's tweets on this. He was up in arms because he's right. It's a it's a federal red flag center is what it is, where that they can determine that anybody is a threat.
Well, the red flag stuff isn't going too well, but, you know, through the states, so.
Right. And Congress didn't authorize it. It's just nothing but another executive order from the president just hours after the omnibus bill was passed. So
what'd you think of the...
it's going to get challenged in court.
What'd you think of that budget going through?
Oh, my. Unbelievable.
Hmm.
1.2 trillion.
Yeah, smooth.
Trill.
If you say
just till September.
If you just say a smooth 1.3, it don't sound so heinous.
So, I mean, I think they are setting this up to be where they can determine you and I to be a domestic terrorist because we posed with a gun or because we had a picture with a gun or because we are known to be ones that speak out about the Second Amendment. I mean, there's a whole list of things that they could determine then to be... Well, you're not safe, and so we're going to come and investigate you because we think that you're a threat. And they wonder why I always fight against red flag laws, but this is an egregious version of that, putting a new task force in place on the federal level. Unreal.
And an inch will become a mile on any kind of...
always.
You know, we've seen it in a lot more areas than just guns, but...
Yep, it'll get held up in court and get overruled eventually, probably, maybe even by the Supreme Court. But I think it's another election ploy, too, to try to virtue signal when it comes to guns. Another story in the news this week is a federal judge has upheld a new law in D.C. to allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. What could possibly go wrong? So a federal judge has upheld, this is I think the National Pulse article. It says, judge says non-citizens can vote in D.C. A federal judge has upheld a Washington, D.C. law enabling non-citizens, including illegal aliens and foreign embassy personnel, to vote in municipal elections.
The ballot's going to start looking like an instruction manual.
From Cambodia or something?
Well, no. You know, instruction manuals... The first 27 pages are one language.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be ballot books. And you just flip to the section.
And it'll take you an hour and a half to go through the ballot.
Yeah.
Try to figure out where you're supposed to vote.
Let's see. We're on
page 28.
D28. That's...
Yeah. So Judge Amy Berman Jackson ruled that the Immigration Reform Law Institute, the group that challenged the law... lacked standing. She argued they were unable to demonstrate measurable damage due to non-citizens voting and running for local office. So that's the burden of proof.
I forgot about Davos. They're going to pretty much read your mind so you don't have to vote.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter where you come from. They can just kind of give you a scan and be like, yep, Ben was definitely going to vote for the blue-haired...
Mm-hmm.
Socialist.
So here's the qualification. You just have to live in the city for at least 30 days.
Nice.
So you could also be a squatter.
Yeah,
you
know, squat in the city.
Just get it all while you're at it, right?
I got a house. I became a voter.
Yeah.
Life's really looking up.
Imagine the people who will get voted in these kind of situations. But that's what they're trying to do with this. That's what the whole illegal immigration is about right now. And the completely uninhibited invasion that's taking place at the southern border, it has to do with voting. And this is what they're trying to do. They're going to try this in municipalities, and then they'll be trying it in states,
you know,
to pass laws to where illegal aliens can vote.
Maybe I'm a hopeless romantic, but I will just say that it would be hilarious if it turns out that even the shadiest, even the illegal immigrants who came over with ill intent for America, get to looking at these policies and they're like, what?
Right.
What? I can't live in a place like this.
Right. A rain tax.
And there's just a...
What?
It's just, yeah. I mean, you can't sell a rain tax to somebody who is escaping poverty.
Right.
It would just be ironic. I don't foresee this. I'm just saying it would be incredibly ironic. You know, you've got 30,000 Catholics that just came over and they're like, abortion? The red wave. The southern red wave.
Forget that. I'm moving to Missouri.
Pretty much. Anyways, I just it would be ironic if it backfired because common sense,
yeah,
you know, still resided everywhere but in the left.
Most illegal aliens that are trying to do things the right way, when you talk to them and you ask them, should it be only to where citizens can vote, they will agree and say, well, yeah, of course, because you can't go to their home country and... Yeah. Imagine if I wanted to just go right on down to Haiti right now and be like, hey, I'm taking over.
You would be barbecue's lunch meat.
Right. I'm gonna assume power here.
Barbecue would be having...
I can run this joint better than you guys.
He would have a bakery for a day. Right. A bin bakery. So... Yeah, you got to tread lightly. And there's a lot of it is really does, you know, come in. I think there are a lot of people that, you know, truly want to piece of what America was, yeah, not what we're becoming.
I know.
And so it would be a wild irony if they had a red wave in the places that they were releasing. I don't foresee it because I do know that they're also trying to buy and pay for these votes.
Yeah.
But it could backfire.
It could.
They could try to have their cake and eat it too and get eaten by the old cake.
And in my, so in the bill I have regarding prohibiting ranked choice voting, I have also added in there where it specifies that only U.S. citizens and a citizen of the state of Missouri can vote.
Well, I mean, we don't
put that in the Constitution rather than just statutory.
We don't let anyone, we don't let people who break the law vote.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
If they were born here, it doesn't matter. That's just cut and dry.
Yeah.
They don't get to own guns, all of these things. And that's very anti-DEI. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a problem, but
right.
I definitely think that it's not double standard presented on our side. It's a double standard presented by vote panderers and mm-hmm. people who want to see America burn, you know.
So, on a lighter note, Tim.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Kamala Harris.
I just saw a white floaty flying through the air with a rope attached.
Kamala Harris is in Puerto Rico, and when she shows up, there are people there, and they're actually protesting.
Know your audience.
Right? They're protesting her, actually. But so you got to watch this video, and then we'll talk about it. So you see, you know, some of her aides are around her there, and there's protesters that are singing a song, and she starts clapping along with them. Watch this. And then the
interpreter, you can tell, he's like, I know five languages.
The aide just kind of leans over and starts whispering, hey, they're actually singing about you. And not in a good way.
But have you heard some protesters chanting something that just
you wanted to join in.
You're like, that was clever. Right. Don't agree, but I kind of want to stomp my foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to do the mashed potato to this chant. And she definitely, she appreciated the art.
Yeah. And then, so she's listening, and then she stops clapping.
Those hands start curling in. Right. It was like the take my strong hand guy. Those hands just kind of just shriveled up like she got the palsy all of a sudden.
Right.
And her face didn't change much, but head. She looked like she just ate a persimmon, though.
The fun's over.
That's like looked like a kid opening a package of socks on Christmas.
Right. They were so excited. And then they were not.
The wrapping paper was nice, but I already have a lot of socks.
Yeah.
That was priceless though.
So next up, Tim, a homeless man wearing a woman's dress says he's from Kansas and came to Portland, Oregon for the free stuff.
Good call.
He says he likes being homeless.
Well, let
me. He said they give me food, they give me money, they give me camping stuff. I'm just taking a vacation, man. I'm good.
Here's the deal. If you're homeless, a dress makes a lot of sense.
It's really practical.
That's a big old man in a big old dress. Tent at night.
Right.
You don't have to take your undies off to poop. You got plenty extra material if you don't have any TP.
Oh, man.
You are cool and breezy because you don't have any AC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very practical.
Yeah, it's no different than a chic wearing a white linen robe. But let's find out what he has to say.
Come on, I'll give you food, give you money, they give you camping, they give you everything to help you on your feet. Some people don't want to. I'm just taking a vacation, so I'm cool.
What's your plan to get off the streets eventually?
Go with my ID to come out, give me a job and stuff. Like, I roam the streets anyway all my life, man. I just want to just be free.
Okay.
Just want
to
be free.
So I was explaining away the dress. I don't know about the purse, but I mean, you got to have something to carry your stuff in.
Right.
Bad thing.
But he has a beard.
No, it really isn't. People put something on that, but street's not a bad thing. You could be at home, something happened to you bad at home. You do your thing, man. It's not a bad, street's not bad at all, man. It's not the end of the streets. It's not bad.
What are some maybe positive,
Whatever you like. Whatever you like is positive. If you don't like it, it's negative. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry there. What are the positives of being a contributing member of society? Well, the positives are the good stuff. The negatives are the bad stuff.
Thank you,
Nostradamus. Yeah. Just drop some wisdom.
So he likes being homeless. He gets a lot of free stuff. He's on vacation. He's good. And the streets are a good thing.
He does kind of look like a Black Karen at Disneyland.
Right. And that's the thing. Like when I mention this, when we talk about the homeless issue, I always try to remind people that there are people they're homeless by choice. Different reasons.
I've wanted to create and be on a TV show where I lost, like they take your driver's license, they take your ID, your money, and just put you out, see how you fare, how long it takes to get back on your feet.
See what kind of, how resourceful you really are. Yeah.
Like I think that would be an adventure. It wouldn't be a drudgery.
Yeah. I know.
No responsibility day one.
So, next up, Tim.
We have to go back in the hole.
Biden makes a proclamation. So, this is Easter weekend, right? He makes a proclamation that Easter Sunday.
Devout Catholic, no doubt.
Is going to be the Transgender Day of Visibility. That's the proclamation he comes up with. And as you could imagine, met a lot of opposition and a lot of pushback from people who are saying, what are you doing with trying to make this on the same day as what Christians celebrate as Resurrection Sunday? So he said this, I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination against all transgender, gender nonconform. Do you think Biden even really knows what that term means?
Biden checked out a while back, right, but he can still read.
Gender nonconforming and non-binary people. And they also specified that there will no longer be any Christian references when it comes to the celebrations at the White House for Easter, as you can tell by the giant Easter bunny.
I wonder if Biden sniffed the Easter bunny. I don't know how he could resist. Biden's out there laying Easter eggs just so he can have more people to sniff.
New York governor also issued their own proclamation. Them issued a proclamation to mark the day.
So that's
how it's going in the United States of America. And you've got the White House and other places all saying they're going to be lit up with the rainbow for Easter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you, in D.C., the LGBTQ plus community is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk through, like, it's every church has a
virtue signaling going on.
Little virtue signaling on their marquee.
Yep.
Pretty wild.
It is.
And the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Did Trump ever pull any shenanigans like this?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. I would have thought it would have been a big story, just trying to further divide the country.
Yeah.
Had he. But, yeah, it's symbolically just disturbing.
Well, it's an in-your-face attack on Christianity is what it is. Aside from being wrong in so many ways, to make it on Easter
Sunday. Why would you not reserve Easter Sunday for what it is or leave it alone?
Yeah. But they can't. They can't do that.
Mm.
So we'll end with this one. Biden claims he literally cut the budget, the national debt, not the budget. There is no budget in our national government. But he cut the national debt. And let's hear what he has to say about how much he's cutting the national debt.
I cut the national debt,
so we're debt
by
free.
$1,700,000,000. We literally cut the federal debt in half by $1.4 trillion. $1 trillion
in half. Wait a second.
The national debt is $33 trillion.
But he cut it in half.
But he cut it in half by $1.3 trillion.
I tell you what, Biden, does anybody do a good Biden impression?
We got to find one.
If somebody does a good Biden impression, or maybe
let
we can get
know.
A deep fake, but I want Biden to call into Dave Ramsey
right.
And do the word debt-free. Because that's where we're heading based on what I'm watching here.
We cut it
I mean, we're
half.
Almost there. We're
we
at 1.3 trillion now.
Let's listen to this. It's great.
$700 billion.
$1,700,000,000,000
cut. We cut the debt by $1.7 billion in the last 2 years.
Let me say that again. $1.7 trillion.
I reduced the budget by $1.7 billion.
Billion. Now he's telling it. Hey, here's the deal. He may have reduced the budget by $1.7 trillion. Problem was, he spent $4.3 trillion,
right.
$1.3 trillion. It's like me at a gas station on a road trip when I've drank an entire case of water. I feel bad going in and using their facilities and not buying something. And
right.
Biden has been, he's like, oh, it's just a $1.3 trillion. And then America's like my wife. Hey.
All right.
We're broke now. You spent $9,000 at the gas station.
Because you felt bad.
Because you didn't want to have explosive diarrhea without buying something.
His face, though, in this video is just too much. Every time he says it, it's great.
This is one of the best compilations.
We cut the federal debt in half. Fact.
In the first year of my administration, I cut the debt by $1.7
trillion.
$1.7
billion.
$1.7 trillion. $1.7
trillion.
$1.7
trillion.
I've got to make a meme for my wife to be able to send this.
$1.7 billion. Trillion.
A billion trillion is a lot. That's what our national debt's closer to a billion trillion.
$1.7 trillion. Hear me?
No one's ever reduced the debt that much.
Look at the people in the crowd. Right. Their signs went down. They were like, we're okay being delusional, but Joe, you're getting carried away.
$1.3 billion.
Did you, what was it? Was it 238 billion that went missing?
Yeah.
Or was it 2.3? Am I being wild here? Joel.
I know, we need the Googler. Yeah.
It was an absurd amount of the.
And then we sent an absurd amount to Iran.
And Joel can
just scads of we'll cash.
But I believe it was $238 billion went missing out of the package.
Yeah,
COVID, the final COVID.
I mean, here or there
care package.
Yeah. What's a few hundred billion among friends, Tim? It's just taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, is that a collective blessings to the government?
No one believes a word that he says.
I mean, you cannot watch that with a straight face. I don't care if you're a Biden supporter
or not.
I don't care if you're a hardcore lefty. That's pure, unadulterated comedy.
It really is. It really is. I mean,
doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Oh. You know, if you're going to take crazy pills, make sure they're red.
Yep. All right, everybody.
You might survive.
Thanks for listening to our drivel. Joel will be back, hopefully next week, to Google it up for us.
Straighten out. He's going to have 3 hours just straightening out all the facts that weren't facts that I dropped tonight.
Hey, the next recording is going to be our night in Jeff City.
Nice.
It's going to be great.
That'll be a momentous occasion.
Yep.
We may have a whole gaggle of folks there.
Oh, it'll be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, leave us a review. It helps keep the podcast up. Go do it. All right?
God bless.
Just takes a second. God bless. See you next week.